Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
So we're here with Ann Wilson, and it is Ann with an E.
Hi, how are you?
Anytime I see Ann with an E, I'm not sure if this is a function of my age or not, but it's coming back around, but I'm always thinking about Anne of Green Gables. Like, I cannot see Anne spelled with an E without hearing yeah. Anne Shirley saying it's Anne with an E.
Yes, totally.
Have you seen the new series that's on Netflix yet?
I have not. I want to start watching it, but I don't know. I mean, I always read the Anne of Green Gables books and stuff, but I've never seen that one.
I think it came out in 85. There's a Canadian small miniseries that was Anne of Green Gables, and that was something that I always watched as a kid.
Aww.
It was a little old by the time I was able to watch it, about the young child kind of age, but it was always grandma's house. Grandma had gaffer tapes, and
sweet.
She had Anne of Green Gables, and so all through our childhood, anytime we went to grandma's house, chances are we were watching one of the two, so the Anne of Green Gables was just a huge part of us growing up, me and my siblings.
That's amazing. That's so special.
Yeah, and it's funny. Have you seen Heartland?
I haven't, no, but everyone talks about it. I got to watch that one too.
Oh my gosh. This is not the Netflix special episode here, but it was just so funny. My whole family is all about Heartland. My daughter, my wife, her parents and stuff. I did not realize it, but the gal who played Anne in the original Anne of Green Gables pops in and out of Heartland. And I completely didn't realize that.
That's so cool. I didn't know that either. That's awesome.
I did not find that out until just recently, and now I've got to go back and see a couple of those episodes from Heartland to see where she's at in those.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to watch both of those now.
Kind of stuff from my childhood now coming into one of my daughter's favorite shows.
Oh, that's awesome. What a special thing.
I just learned something here recently that I think we have a good shared interest here. I read that you had gone to NASA and had high hopes of becoming an astronaut at some point.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I always loved space as a kid, and I just fell in love with creation of God's. And I knew that I wanted to be able to witness God's creation in a whole new way that we don't get to here on Earth. And so I would just always dream of going up into space and being able to study the stars and work for NASA and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a huge passion of mine.
NASA has major centers in Alabama. They have in Florida, of course, Houston, down here in Texas. Which one of the locations was it that you got to go visit?
I went to the one in Cape Canaveral, Florida.
We finally got to go there, was it in 2017, on our way to the first Jesus Freak cruise? Man, amazing place, just for the space nerd in me that was my 13-year-old self. Man, what a place to just go sit and visit.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. Like, I remember being there with my mom and just being blown away. And that's like kind of what really like sparked really wanting to be an astronaut was going there. And I walked out of that museum that day thinking to myself, you know what? This is what I'm going to do full time. Like, I'm going to be an astronaut. This is my passion and dream. It's crazy there. I want to go to the one in, man, where is it? I was just talking about. Oh, it's the one in Alabama. I really want to go to that one. Yeah.
I want to go to Huntsville at some point in time. I've gotten to go to Houston as well. It's just down the road from me here a few hours. But
oh, that's awesome.
When you went to Cape Canaveral, did you take the launch pad tours?
I did. And that was absolutely amazing. That was my favorite part.
Just to sit and be where some of the stuff was happening was just incredible to just be in that place where history was made.
Oh, absolutely. It was like so insane. And then to see like how small we are in comparison to these big rocket ships, like just to be able to witness that whole thing was truly so incredible.
It's a perspective thing too. When we went through the Mercury launch pad site, you see all the movies and you kind of see it and you have this kind of thought process about how all this worked. And then you go, you walk where just the Mercury, where the first ones launched, and it's tiny. They were like, seems like 2 feet away from the rockets.
Absolutely.
In that bunker, it's like 300 feet because that's how far the cables could reach for all the sensors and all that kind of stuff. And it's just not very far at all for a rocket that's trying to throw you into space.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's insane.
Just how many people were crammed in that tiny, tiny little shack there. And
yeah.
I think we have this kind of idea of all this massive technological feat, this magical, which it was. But, you know, what we have in our brains as to compared to what it was is like kind of two different things.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so cool. It's all amazing. Did you ever want to be an astronaut?
Oh, 100%.
Cool.
There was a point where I like knew all the astronauts and all the missions. And I mean, all the way Mercury through Apollo. And I wrote to an astronaut as a kid and got some autographed stuff back. And it was just so,
wow.
So
awesome. What's your favorite space movie?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I really like The Martian. That was a great one.
Okay.
Apollo 13 is always a classic.
Absolutely.
But the problem is I always watch these on airplanes, it seems. Oh. A couple of times it's like, this probably isn't the best thing to be watching on an airplane.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I think Apollo 13 kind of always takes king because, you know, that was a big movie when I was a child.
Have you seen Interstellar?
Yes, I have. That one's been a minute, but.
Yeah, that one's my all-time favorite. I've watched that one like, oh my gosh, probably like at least 50 times.
Matt Damon stranded on that one too, right? Or is that the one with Matthew McConaughey?
That's the one with Matthew McConaughey.
That's right.
Yeah. It's kind of complicated to understand because it's very, it's all based off of theories and not like actual scientific stuff. So, but it's a really, really, really good movie.
There's some Netflix specials about space that are about some space travel that are just amazing as well. And yeah, I'm all in for any space travel movie or anything like that. It's
Shaking
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we've been able to do on family road trips too, it's kind of permeated even that. And there's this little space museum in Hutchinson, Kansas, of all places, just a little outside of Salina. They're in the middle of nothing. There's this little air and space museum. They have like Apollo 13. They have, I think, Liberty Bell 7. They fish that off the ocean floor. I think it's Liberty Bell.
That's amazing.
They have some of the stuff just like out in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. It's like, how on earth did this get planted here? But it's just really cool to go see. And they've restored all the capsules. So you get to get in and see everything that's going on.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh, I'll have to check that one out.
Maybe when you're on a tour bus with For King and Country again, there's a stop for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you got to do for the first time here recently.
Yes. Last night I opened for them in Duluth, Minnesota. And it was literally so insane. Like, they were one of my favorite Christian bands growing up and still are to this day. And I know every word of every song they've ever released. Like, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. And just to be able to like see them in that capacity and open for them and get to know them like as a friend rather than just like someone coming to meet them, it was so incredible. And then I got to sleep on my tour bus or on their tour bus for the first time ever. Never slept on a bus. So that was an experience. I thought that like, when you sleep on a tour bus, it wouldn't move as much like when you're on the bus bunks, but you feel just like you're in a regular car. Like, you move all the time. Like, if someone stops, you know, slams on the brakes, you like go with it. Or like if the driver turns, like your body kind of rolls with it. So it's crazy, but it was definitely not a good night's rest, but I'm glad that I got to experience it.
You're going to have to get used to it because you're going out with Big Daddy Weave here in the next couple
months. I think it's the mid to end of September. I'm super excited.
Talk about some other Christian music icons. I mean, those guys have been around for a minute. They produce such great music. And just anytime you see anything from those guys, they're just so genuine, just so real. And it's
absolutely
going for King and Country on that tour bus, breaking that barrier there. And then now going on tour with Big Daddy Weave here coming up, man alive.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be so exciting. And they're really just such good godly guys. And I'm excited that they're going to be the ones that I get to look up to spiritually. And they can kind of help me throughout this journey and mentor me and be able to be there for me and teach me what they've learned and show me what it looks like to be on the road and to keep God the focus of it.
And what an amazing perspective. I mean, I think a lot of people entering that arena would be like, hey, we get to play shows and this life is awesome and all that kind of stuff. And you know, here you are. It's like, how do I keep God first on the road? Like, that's just amazing. Like, I know that's not what I would be thinking. I mean, not that it would be in the back of my brain, but that wouldn't be my first focus. Mine would probably be like, how do I not screw this up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've realized that, you know, if you don't keep the Lord the focus of it all, then it becomes very hard, and it becomes something that's just something I don't want to be a part of. And I think that especially because you're in Christian music, it can get hard to do that. But keeping Jesus at the focus of every single decision, every single moment of everything, that's when it really becomes this beautiful journey.
And that's what I really love about Christian music, and having been able to have a lot of conversations with artists down the way, is just Christian music is so much more mission-minded, I think, as a whole.
Yeah, for sure.
As opposed to even mainstream music is telling stories and all that, but it seems like there's just a different goal with the mainstream side of music as opposed to Christian music. And that's one of the reasons
why I love absolutely
getting to help promote and talk more about Christian music.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Christian music is so special, and I'm just so grateful and honored that I get to be a part of it now.
So let's talk a little bit about your story. I mean, this is a super powerful story. I'd actually seen a video about this before I realized who Ann Wilson was and your music starting to come out. So can you talk a little bit about kind of your story and what's led you to becoming a Christian music artist, ditching the whole astronaut thing and coming into Christian music here?
Yeah. So about 4 years ago on June 7th, 2017, I lost my brother in a car accident at the age of 23. His name was Jacob, and he was my everything in a person, my best friend, and really just someone that I absolutely adored. And we were super close. I have a sister. She's 23 now, and her name is Elizabeth. And then I'm the youngest. And so the three of us were always just so close, and we always looked up to Jacob in a big way. And so losing him and having to face the tragedy of him dying in a car accident and walking out this whole thing was really, really difficult for our family. And I found myself deep in the midst of pain and suffering, wanting Jesus more than I ever had. I found myself wanting to worship God, and literally like worshiping Jesus was my medicine almost in a sense for that tragedy. I would go downstairs at the piano and I would just sing to Jesus, and I would just literally sing my entire heart out, like desperate for healing, desperate for all these things, but also just sitting there thanking Jesus for the fact that he gave me Jacob for the years that we had him. And that was like super, super big for me. And so I just remember feeling like this whole sense of worship that I'd never felt before. So one of the days I was downstairs worshiping the Lord, and I thought I was alone. I thought no one could hear me, but my mom actually was listening to me singing. And so she comes into the room and she's like, "Ann, I had no idea that you sang." And I was like, "Mom, I don't sing. I don't know what's happening. I'm just worshiping God. I just feel like I'm supposed to be worshiping him." And at that point in time, I had never sang in front of anyone before because I was pursuing being an astronaut, not a singer. And so I just had never really talked to anyone about singing, never sang in front of anyone. And so at that point in time, we couldn't find anyone to sing at the funeral for Jacob. And she kind of felt sorry for him in a way. And so she just said, like, point blank, "Ann, will you sing at the funeral?" I remember being so terrified of those words. I said, "Mom, there's no way I can do that. I can't hold myself up there together. There's no way." I went upstairs to my room and I just locked the door and I just prayed so deeply. And I was like, "God, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to reveal it to me. You're going to have to show me that you want me to do this." Sure enough, the Lord just basically spoke to me, and I felt like I was supposed to sing at the funeral. And a few days later, I sang at the funeral for the first time in front of anyone. I got up on stage and I looked out and there were 1,200 people, and it was like this church packed out. Yeah, it was such a testament to just how much people loved Jacob. And I was sitting there looking out into all these people and just feeling so nervous. And immediately God took these nerves away from me, and God spoke to me actually for the first time. And I don't know if you're familiar with this part of the story, but I heard God's voice clear as day in that moment right before I started singing. And he said to me, "Anne, this is what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to praise and worship my name." Those were his exact words in that moment. I remember just being like numb almost in a sense. I was like, "There's no way. Like, this is insane. Like, God just called me to music. at my brother's funeral. God just told me what my purpose is on this earth at my brother's funeral. And it was the most incredible moment that I've ever experienced. It was truly so, so, so special. Flash forward about a few months, I just had all these people ask me if I would be willing to record the video of the song that I sang at the funeral, which was the song What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong. Have you ever heard that song?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a powerful song.
Yeah, and that was just a big song for me. And I got some friends together and we put together a video of What a Beautiful Name. And I posted it on YouTube, literally just with the goal of dedicating it to Jacob. That was the first moment of God kind of starting my music journey and really starting to open some doors for me after that.
I feel like we should pause here for a second and think about, you're 19 years old right now, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
You're a mid-teenager in high school while this is starting up. And it's just mind-boggling to me to think that, you know, at that age, because I think I've talked about this before. Me at 15 years old was nowhere even close to being mature enough to do some of this stuff. It just always blows me away.
Oh, it's so sweet.
I'm not even sure me at 19 years old would have been, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. It's like, sometimes I sit back and I'm like, I'm only 19. Like, this is so weird.
So fast forward a little ways, you have some music out here, My Jesus, you know, just a super, super powerful song. I'm not normally a country fan, but I can get behind like My Jesus and that.
Yeah.
It's just such a powerful song, just done so very, very well.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet. Yeah, I love what you said though. You're not a country fan?
I grew up in the middle of Wyoming and somehow am not a huge fan of country music. I don't know how that happened.
Oh man.
But
listen, you have to start listening to country music. It's so good.
My wife and my daughter have been trying that for years. My daughter has a little bit of me in her, and she says anytime a country music song comes on, hey, Daddy, it's country, and just turns it up a little bit more just to get my goat.
Oh, that's
a little
so sweet. Yeah, there are certain types of country music that I don't like, but I like the older country music, and then I like Morgan Wallen's new music right now because it kind of feels like it's from the 90s, you know? So, yeah, I'm a huge country music fan.
I say that probably just to go a little bit more to the other side. There's some in there that if it's done well, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like a lot of Mallory Hope's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of it that's done well that,
yeah,
you know, sure, I can really get behind. But actually the older country, I'm not as much of a fan of. Actually, I'm just not sure what it is. Maybe it's just because I grew up in Wyoming and just decided that I didn't want to follow the crowd. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe. That's super cool, though, that you grew up in Wyoming. Wow, that's amazing.
Middle of nowhere. It's funny. Like, everything is 2 hours away. It's just real fun.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to Casper. It's 2 hours away.
I've always wanted to visit Wyoming. It looks like such a beautiful state from pictures.
It is. That is one of the things that I really, really miss about it. Not the snow. Mm. Not the 2 feet of snow in the middle of October. But
for sure.
We just went back a couple of weeks ago, just visiting some of the spots that were close to where I grew up. Man alive, I forget what we live so close to that we took for granted all the time. Just the beauty that absolutely was just, you know, in every day.
Yeah, for sure.
Where my mom's house is, there's a little pasture and then it goes down a hill. And so she has this amazing view of the mountains and some of the
Oh, that's so cool. Stuff out her
back window.
That's amazing.
That's every day. And like, you just forget what's there and what beauty that you get to be surrounded with all the time and don't realize it until you move away. Amazing.
Wow. That's super cool. I'll have to visit sometime.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about the My Jesus Live that just came out. You got to record that live. Was that at the Ryman that you recorded that?
No, that was actually at a barn. It was called the White Dove Barn. It was super, super fun getting to film all that. It was just kind of a dream come true because I've always wanted to do a live version of my music. And so whenever we were kind of discussing it and talking through it, I was like, I really, really want to do this. And I wanted to make it very country sounding, you know, and Southern sounding, but also keep that element of the Lord in there, which all my songs are about him. So it's always there. So we actually did one country song. We did a cover of it. It's called Boondocks. And I am super excited about that one. I sing that live at all of my shows in person. So to be able to do a live version of it and send it off to the world that, you know, for all people to see it, that's what I'm super excited about. But My Jesus was so fun getting to film, just a fun day, a fun experience, just something different, you know, that I've never done before. And I got to work with an incredible band, the band that is in the video that everyone sees. They are literally the most incredible band. They are so talented. And just to be able to work with that talented of musicians was very, very, very amazing.
Yeah, I was trying to give you the Ryman just to help pump you up a little bit. You kind of made it. I was really working hard for that.
I wish I filmed it there. That would be amazing.
I think when you record the cover, your cover of Boot Scootin' Boogie, you got to do that at the Ryman.
That's hilarious.
Or Cotton Eye Joe, whichever one works. Yeah, I think you need to film that at the Ryman. Song.
Yeah.
You can't have a party without Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, not at all. I was actually just singing that the other day with one of my band members, and we were just like line dancing to it. It was so funny.
How you know you're from the South? You grew up in every school dance, every party, Cotton Eye Joe or Boot Scootin' Boogie or...
Oh, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Well, I'm going to be looking out for that cover. It has to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I'll make sure to send it to you first.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us here. And
absolutely.
And like I said, just if you haven't seen her new live stuff, make sure that you see Anne with an E's new videos.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jake, for having me. It was so nice to meet you and just to get to chat about all this.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.